Back here at WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937. We just heard a little bit of Michael Lombardi there, along with Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia on their Underdog podcast, as they were all really patting themselves on the back over the idea that quarterbacks don't play defense, and, you know, it's good to have the quarterback, but you got to have more than that. Can't just do that. You got to have all this other stuff in place, and we all know Bill's philosophy on the defense and what he thinks the quarterback is important is or isn't. I think that's all been, you know, when you really sort of figured that out was when he just signed Cam Newton on the 4th of July that one year. And it was just like, yeah, it was going to be Jared Stidham, but let's bring in Newton. Let's just throw him in there and that should be fine. We'll work out good. We don't, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. We'll be okay. And it seemed like for a couple of games, like maybe that was true, but then we realized it most certainly was not. But anyway, Lombardi is not done there. He was on NESN today on the Foxborough Rush Show on NESN, which I believe is it's a morning show, I want to say. I'm not super familiar with it, but he was on there. He was doing his thing, talking about the Patriots and about Bill Belichick, and it's kind of long, so we'll play it for you. We'll start and stop here, but here's Mike Lombardi. I believe this was today, either today or yesterday.
On
the roster right now and why everybody's just got to leave Bill alone when it comes to this roster.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, they all do it in the building, right? The owner does the same thing, too. I mean, you know, he was saying that he couldn't trust Bill anymore. He's got 6 Super Bowl trophies over there in his case. I don't know where you get trust from if you can't. But look, this is all about trying to discredit the former coach who won 6 Super Bowls and trying to build a new program, which they have every right to build. They own the team. But the reality of it is they signed Barmore back. They signed Uche back. They signed Duger back. They signed Preppers back.
They signed who?
Duger Hauser.
Yeah, right. The MD. Teenage doctor. I did not realize that he was on the team. That's quite something. Yes, Duger. Very good. Now, I know where he's going here, and on some level, I kind of agree with this. You want to make a big rebuild, and you bring back all the old guys' players. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But go on, Lombardi.
Duger back. They signed Preppers back. They signed all these guys back. Bill's not in the building anymore. So when you sign the players back, you can't blame him for what's going on. I think that, to me, that's a little bit of talking out of both sides of your mouth. You can't say, you know, I had heard of a bad team when most of the players you signed, particularly on defense, are the ones you signed back.
Okay, just real quick, you stop it right there, because I do think this is part of the argument. It's not the whole thing, but this is part of the argument that I hear a lot of Bill defenders keep saying, and Lombardi is nothing if not a Bill defender, so let's go ahead and break that down a little bit, because we've talked about this too, Andy. Is this really the time and place to criticize Bill Belichick and to blame him for the current state of the team when instead of going out and upgrading the roster, which in a lot of places they still could have done, maybe not in every single spot, but in some places they could have, instead of just bringing back all of Bill's old guys? The players that they brought in from outside the organization were mostly backups. I mean, we're talking about Nick Leverett, we're talking about Austin Hooper, Antonio Gibson, and other guys who are not starters on this team, not primary players. And I think that there's certainly something to that here, what Lombardi's saying.
Yeah, so the first thing is Bill absolutely has fingerprints all over the lack of talent on this roster. We don't need to keep re-litigating it, revisiting it. The drafts, the playing catch-up. We talked a lot about it yesterday. You're playing catch-up. You're always playing catch-up for some of those drafts and just swings and misses by him. Now, I also think this is sort of sneaking up on people in various ways. I think it snuck up on you a little bit this week in regards to the wide receivers. I think they've been quite open with this is a multi-year plan, and there are phases to this rebuild or whatever you want to call this at Gillette Stadium, which I would think thematically they showed you this year was about the foundational core of the team and retaining guys that you wanted to retain. Like the good that was left here, keeping the good. Like, you know what, you know, you do a house, you don't rehab generally the whole house, right? Like, oh, that bathroom was already done 5 years ago. Right. We can keep that bathroom.
Well, Dak Prescott just knocked his house down, is building a new one. So, I mean, that's,
I saw that.
Right?
That's what really rich people do. Really
very, very
stinky rich people.
Yes.
That happened not too far from me. People bought a $25 million mansion and knocked it down to build another mansion on top of it. And I'm like, that's amazing money. Imagine having that kind of money, $25 million just to tear it down.
That's a few money, yeah.
Generally, the normal people, when we do these things, like, oh, the bedrooms are actually in good condition. We really need to just do the kitchen and this one bathroom off the living room, right? Or whatever. And I think that's what they were doing, is picking what was okay and retaining that. And you have to also remember, I think key to this, too, is it's Mayo and Wolf. They were here. So they have their guys, for lack of a better word, right? Like, usually when you have these cleanups, like, everybody thought Bill might bring people with him to Atlanta, right? If he was going to get the Atlanta job, Parcells was famous for it.
Sure.
Parcells would bring in his guys.
Curtis Martin, right, yeah.
Right, like, or, but even lower level ones, like the Anthony Pleasants or, right, like, yeah, you know, some random offensive lineman guy. And the difference here is their guys were already our guys. Like, they were already here. So when Gerard Mayo and Elliot Wolf are looking at, who do we want? Well, Mike Onwenu is a good lineman. We want him to be the core of the line. Kyle Duggar, or Duggar, either pronunciation's fine. We want to be a core back-end guy. And I think, so you wouldn't have cared as much, in a way, if Mayo was bringing in his guys had he been hired from, let's just say, the Browns. He was the Browns defensive coordinator, and he brought in Mike Onwenu and Kyle Duggar. Right, you'd be like, oh, he's getting his own guys. He's starting the culture.
Right.
The difference here is they were already here. We know them, and they were Bill's guys. And then the whole thing about, well, the team's not talented, but you're keeping some of the talent. That's where it gets muddy, because I think they were bringing their guys in. The Parcells style, they were bringing their guys in.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a big part of it, because a lot of the people still in the front office and still on the coaching staff are Bill guys. I mean, that's just a fact. Like,
right.
Mayo was a Bill guy. Groh's a Bill guy. Wolf was a Bill. Like, they were all here. Basically, the entire front office is still pretty much intact, minus Bill Belichick. Same with the coaching staff, minus Bill and Stephen Belichick, I should say, too. But, like, that's it. You know, you got a lot of the same faces. Bill O'Brien's gone, I guess. But, in general, you have mostly same people, familiar faces. And I think that's something that was a conscious decision on the part of Robert Kraft. That being said, you do have to field a team, okay?
Yes.
You can't just go out and replace everybody. And it is fair to say that over the last 5 years, Bill Belichick's drafts have been pretty bad. I mean, you know, these are guys who, as I said before, I'm not necessarily sure if Bill was here that he would have re-signed all those guys, because a lot of them didn't really achieve all that much in the time that they were here and didn't end up being what the expectations were set for them when they were drafted. Now, a lot of them are off the roster. Like, the real bad ones aren't even here anymore. These are the best of what's left over. And I think in some cases you got some decent players. In a lot of cases it was, well, we got to put somebody out there on the left end. Like, it's got to be someone. And we have this guy. We have Josh Uche here. We can get him for $3 million, so let's just go ahead and do it. They could have gotten better running backs. They could have gotten better offensive linemen. There's a lot of other things they could have done, but they didn't. And I think in some ways that has to do with the spending habits or lack thereof of the front office and the ownership group, but part of it's also that the drafts were no good.
Right, and like, they're even free agency. So Josh Uche, I think he's a perfect example of a cheap guy that you're like, we need a roster. We got to have some guys. And he's willing to come back at whatever this deal is, 1 year, $3 million or something. I don't think they really wanted him, but they didn't not want him either. He was just kind of a roster filler.
Right.
Or even if you had a better young up-and-coming tight end, you probably would have wanted to move on from Hunter Henry potentially. I'm not sure he's a guy that fits their cycle, to use Gerard Mayo's word. But you got to have a tight end. You got to have a functional offense, and the best tight end you can probably get is the guy that's comfortable where he is in Hunter Henry. So I do think there was some circumstances, but I absolutely think their actions tell you. Year one was retain the guys that are going to be part of the bridge that are actually already on the roster, and year two is going to be more aggressively to add and to complement that with a boatload of spending, some of which they have to do as part of the reach the minimum floor of the salary cap.
Floor, right, yeah.
Yeah, of the next couple of years, the 3-year average. And I think you're going to see that. But the bigger question here is, does Bill have blame? Absolutely. Should they be blaming Bill? Absolutely not. Move on. Everyone knows it. Anyone who cares about enough about it to really think about or debate roster construction already knows Bill's drafts are a part of why you are where you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so stop talking about it. So don't address that you had a bad roster, you inherited a bad roster. Don't address if you're Robert Kraft on some Breakfast Club. Don't address.
Well, Robert Kraft's never going to stop doing it. But in fairness, Mayo said, I'm not going to answer that, right? I mean, he did. In doing so, he sort of implicated Belichick.
Yes.
But he didn't say it out loud. He wasn't like, you know why. Like, he said, hey, I'm not going to touch that.
I think he did say, he said, you know why, or something to that effect. Like, he acknowledged.
He said, you tell me, is what he said.
I think I'll leave that to you guys to talk about. Or so, like, he knows that people know, right? Like,
sure.
I just stop blaming Bill. He's gone. Everybody knows what Bill did great. Everybody except Lombardi knows what Bill did bad. Because Lombardi pretends Bill was great right up into the end. He wasn't. Like, why would you stop trusting him? Because he made a lot of really bad decisions over the last 3, 4, 5 years, right? From Tom Brady straight on through to Matt Patricia, mm-hmm. to individual draft picks, to individual trades, to wide receivers. He made some hellacious decisions. That's why he's no longer the head coach of the New England Patriots and the general manager. But Lombardi doesn't see that. Lombardi is like the ultimate super fan. He just sees 6 trophies, and that's all Bill ever represents.
Right. Yeah, it's true. And, you know, he's not going to – his fellow podcast co-host Matt Patricia, he's not going to throw him under the bus in any of these things either. You know that. So the question, I guess, here, before we get to the Patriots Pillars Power rankings,
can't wait.
Andy Hart, the last question I have about this is I agree. I think that Mayo and Kraft and everybody should shut up about Belichick. But when is it appropriate for Patriots fans and everybody else to stop blaming Belichick? Because I don't think 6 games into the new season is enough time to have gone by. I think that that's him saying that, hey, when are you going to stop blaming Bill for everything? It's like, well, we're still very much in the first half of the season with a roster he's still left in shambles. So it's going to at least be to the end of this year. I don't know. You want to go beyond this year and call it whiny, then I could maybe see that. But as you said, his fingerprints are all over this roster. It's definitely still a lot of blame to go in his direction for this roster right now.
Yeah, when you are through, like, next offseason cycle, the March and April of next, I don't want to hear about Bill anymore, because you've now had 2 drafts that included a top 3 pick and probably another top 3 to 5 pick. You've had an offseason where you had $100 million to spend. You're going to have an offseason where you had $130 million to spend. This is on you now. And I'd even blend in that one little bridge year where Elliott Wolff and Matt Groh had at least some input, right? It was more collaborative and whatever. Like, and we had Matt Groh telling us, you want fast players, you got to draft fast players. That's why we drafted Tyquan Thornton and Pierre Strong. And that's why neither guy has ever done a damn thing for the New England Patriots, right? Like, so they get at least partial blame for 2023, and then 2024 is all them, and 2025 is all them. I don't want to hear about Bill anymore. He's going to be employed somewhere else. Let Bill do his thing. You do your thing. Stand on your own 2 feet, financially, trade-wise, everything, and we're going to judge you next spring.
Okay, there you go. All right.